Welcome back, new talkers, to the Bob Davis Podcast. It is a rainy night in the upper Midwest, and it's a good time to talk about the market down 372 points today. And some people I know lost money, people are upset, and we're blaming the media for the market being down today in podcast time. Got a fresh, hot cup of coffee, an entire pot of coffee here. We're going to talk about Trump. We're going to talk about the special counsel being named today and the media fallout in podcast 631. We are constantly surprised these days. Things that we thought we knew turn out to be not the same thing. And sometimes we are surprised positively. Sometimes it's a great big positive surprise. And it is that way with ex-government cars, because if you thought you knew exgovernmentcars.com, think again. Ex-government cars now has a broad selection of newer, better, low-mile vehicles than ever before. They have over 30 lenders, of course, to get your car loan approved fast, and great deals from owner Ed Johnson. Great deals on trades, and they're always willing to help after the sale. And of course, ex-government cars has the Expeditions and the Yukons. They still have the Dodge Chargers. They still have the Ford Police sedans, the Ford Police SUVs, and of course, the incomparable Crown Vic while they last. So here's what you do. Get your butt down to exgovernmentcars.com. You can go online, of course, at exgovernmentcars.com, check out the selection, but it's always fun to go down there and look at the cars because they are really cool. These fleet maintained, one owner, government fleet vehicles that Ed has for sale at exgovernmentcars.com.
ExGovernmentCars.com.
One of the things we're not talking about is trade. And in the news these days, with all the talk about foreign manufacturing and the new president and all of Trump's discussions and talk about manufacturing in the United States, it's making companies skittish. And if you work for one of those companies, you probably know that they are preparing to bring some of, if not all of their manufacturing back into the United States. Now, there are reasons to manufacture in the United States, especially with really specific kinds of things like medical devices. If your company is considering American manufacturing, please remember Depot Star, American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing. Visit their website at depotstar.com. It's D-E-P-O-T-S-T-A-R, depotstar.com. Well, before I start this podcast, I want to give you a little idea about where the genesis of this idea for this podcast came from. I have friends on both sides of the political spectrum. Some of them are quite vocal about their opinions. Some of them are quite partisan. As you know, I have retired from partisanship, and I have retired from defending or attacking certain positions. And today I had a conversation with a friend who was upset about the market being down 372 points, and he said, you know, Trump should have fired Comey. He was incompetent, and the media is attacking Trump, and this is causing this problem, and now they've screwed up the stock market. And I think it's a good endpoint for a conversation about what this blaming nature in our society. But it's kind of a good time to talk about how the media gets blamed for everything. The media, in other words, all of it, all the communication that we see and experience in the society, they're trying to divide us. It's trying to do this or do that. Now, I'm not a market watcher, as I have often talked about. I'm certainly not a market analyst, but I mean, it's pretty common knowledge. The market dropped over 300 points today. By the time you hear this podcast, it may have recovered, which then obviates all of the silly comments and articles people wrote about how the media caused the market drop today. But up until the drop, it seemed, at least this drop, this has been the largest drop we've seen in a while, it seems like the market proved that the economy was strong and that everything would be all right. They called it the Trump rally. And now with the drop, they have ruined it. Now, I'm not going to defend the media. You know, that's silly. The media, in collective or individually, can defend itself. But I will give you a gentle reminder that the media is not a they or an it. There isn't a central system of control of the media other than audiences, clicks, favorites, shares, eyeballs, ears. There is a certain ideology that comes with being in the media, or a psychological condition of cynicism. or a disdain for the masses, and it's inevitable. I talked about that when I covered the primaries. But what is driving media coverage these days are audiences for individual channels. So if you want to blame the media for certain kinds of coverage, blame your neighbor who likes MSNBC or the other neighbor who likes Fox or the get off my lawn type who is still listening to AM talk radio, or the kid who gets all their news from Facebook or the adult that gets all of their news from Facebook. And it isn't the media doing this to Trump, whatever this is. This is a president who campaigned on being a media sensation and who thrived on media attention, still thrives on media attention, thrives on attacking media, and then the media covers the attack on the attacks, and then it's attacked again. Before the president fired James Comey, the former FBI director now, just about everybody except for the former Democratic presidential candidate and the DNC chair, the new DNC chair, had pretty much stopped talking about the Russia thing. Russia and the Trump campaign and alleged or possible collusion between the Russians and the Trump campaign. Yeah, we'd pretty much stopped talking about it. We were talking about the ACA repeal and replace bill. We were talking about tax reform. We were having conversations about foreign policy and the intermittent attention that certain scandals or leaks that occurred that came out of the White House were getting. But in general, we were talking about policy. And then he fired James Comey, the FBI director. And discussion, as well as legislative effort on tax reform, on ACA, and unfortunately the replace part of the ACA repeal, even discussion on executive orders that are largely theater, basically ceased and has been ceased for the last near 2 weeks. So while we're complaining or celebrating the latest debacle, we are not talking about or making progress on congressional action, as in legislation, to address the major questions of the day that the country faces. And seemingly without warning now, the market has crashed, quote unquote, crashed, or is down 372 points, except if you've been paying attention to the hedge fund guys and what some of the people have been writing about the market recently, then you know that one of the main reasons for the market rally has been, central banks buying securities. And this is no secret. This has been going on for quite a while. It was part of quantitative easing. And it's also a combination of that, low interest rates, and chutzpah, momentum on traders and other people who believe things were going to get together and things were going to be better in the future. We were due for some kind of correction in this thing. And at 20,000 plus for the Dow, a correction of 1% or so is, I think, healthy. I don't even know if it was, I guess it was 2%, something to that effect. But as long as we're talking about the market and the economy, let's talk about it for a second, because I think it's really important to talk about this. If I've heard it once, I've heard it 100 times. Trump's fixed the economy, just look at the stock market. Or Trump's going to fix the economy, just look at the stock market. And media, people who write about the markets will ascribe all sorts of reasons for the market to drop that may or may not be correct. You know, it's usually whatever happened today is what caused the market to drop. But the thing is, on any given day, the same thing could happen and the market wouldn't drop because there are other things associated with it. First of all, the stock market in New York City is not the economy. The truth is, here's the deal. This is what's affecting the market more than anything. The promised rebound for small and medium businesses in the United States, like manufacturers and retailers and so forth, even in terms of earnings growth across the board with big public companies, is not happening. Investing in stocks in particular is about the future. Stocks trade on future profits. That's what they're investing in. They're not investing in optimism. They're not investing in feel-good things. People invest in stocks. Institutions invest in stocks. Individuals with money invest in stocks because they want to make money. And they invest because they believe in the future their stocks will be worth more. Markets, of course, can be fueled by various short-term things, like optimism or events, news events, and so forth. The new president's going to do this or that. In the medium and long term, though, there has to be results in order for markets to stay up. And we are not seeing results. And this is not necessarily associated with Trump completely, because we haven't seen results in years in this country. We have been dealing with 1% or slightly better economic growth year after year for the last 10 years since the 2008 financial crisis. We just had 0.7% growth in the last quarter. Somebody remarked to me how many jobs have been created, and I finally said, you cannot create that many jobs in 2 months and have 0.7% economic growth. So sure, there have been quarters of 2.5% GDP growth or better, but year on year in the United States, when you consider inflation, even though it is minor, our economy isn't growing. And that is the problem. And the markets may, in fact, be reacting to that because finally, maybe the scales have fallen from the eyes because Trump was going to fix that. Remember, he's a Republican, he's a businessman, he's a CEO, he's going to drain the swamp, and you will see things are already better. Look at the market. Well, no, they're not already better because the economy is about the same. We're not going to hell in a handbasket economically, but we're not seeing the United States set any world records for growth either. And that's also true across the world. We've been experiencing this 1.5%, 2% economic growth or 1% economic growth worldwide for a long time. You can't make up the losses from 2008 with 1% economic growth for 8 years. We've got to grow faster than that. And that's the biggest problem. And of course, given that kind of a situation, eventually the market's going to wake up from last night's drunk and see things with a clear eye and adjust. And that is what is going on with the markets. Summer is definitely coming, and there are going to be some great celebrations when it comes to motorcycles. People are riding, and we are starting to see motorcycles and hearing them. And I love that sound. I love the sound of, somebody's Harley out on 100, late in the evening. It's great to hear the pipes. It's great to see the motorcycles. And if you ride, you know how important that is. So for those things, lighting options, pipes, things of that nature, check out Ciro3D.com. The great motorcycle products and accessories company, CIRO03D. They have fantastic lighting options and solutions for all kinds of things. And you need to check out their website because you can see how awesome these products are. Happy spring and ride safe, Ciro3D.com, or click on the banner at the top of the page, the Bob Davis Podcasts.com, CIRO3D.com, Ciro3D.com. So now, in terms of the president and in terms of the controversy regarding the alleged Russian hacking of the election and the alleged Russian collusion with officials of the Trump campaign or perhaps the president, which has not been proven, it's scuttlebutt, it's gossip, it's been alleged. There's no proof of any of that yet. There may be, there may not be. What has happened today, of course, is that a special prosecutor a special counsel. It's colloquial, the term special prosecutor. It's actually a special counsel appointed by the deputy attorney general to investigate the Russian collusion allegations. And it's a pretty wide mandate for Robert Mueller, Mueller, who used to be the FBI director, very respected individual, who has now been appointed rather surprisingly. My understanding is the White House had about 30 minutes notice that the AG, the deputy AG, was going to do this. And so he's going to investigate, get to the bottom of the Russian collusion story, which may actually end well for the president and may not end well for the president. But that has nothing to do with my criticism of the president and those who support him and the immediate knee-jerk reaction to blame the media or blame somebody else for every single thing that goes wrong. And I'm going to attack something Nikki Haley said recently, and I've heard this many, many times. This is standard rhetoric in Tea Party meetings and standard rhetoric all through the campaign. We need a businessman to run this country like a business. And if we ran this country like a business, we wouldn't have these kinds of problems. And first of all, you all know that a CEO is answerable only to the board and to the stockholders. Most of the time, the CEO actually owns stock in the company and has a portfolio and a reason for why he or she was appointed to be the CEO of a company. Of course, Donald Trump never had to answer to stockholders or a board of directors because it was a private company that he ran. Having said that, the U.S. president is answerable to to the courts, to Congress, and to the voters of the United States. He has a Senate that has consent and advice power with almost everything he does when it comes to cabinet-level positions and to declaring war and to implementing military actions. He has a House of Representatives he has to answer to. If he wants to get anything done, he has to shepherd legislation through the House of Representatives onto the Senate and then sign it into law. And yet, because he has a plane and he is one guy and a big White House, most of the time, and in our history, the presidency itself has been perceived as powerful. But in reality, the presidency, especially since Richard Nixon, is circumscribed by Congress and the courts in significant ways. And it's not just Nixon. It was also Vietnam. So, you know, the U.S. presidency is not exactly, we are, you know, the U.S. president isn't anywhere near as powerful as the president of Russia, for example. And this doesn't even get into the individual and distinct power of individual state governors and legislatures, state supreme courts and local courts, towns and villages and cities and their city councils and the legal rules regarding what can be said and not said and so forth. So presidents over the years have constantly tried to expand the role of the presidency. Thomas Jefferson, who criticized a strong presidency, famously purchased the Louisiana territories without consulting anyone. He just did it. And as long as the structure of our republic is intact in the United States, meaning the U.S. Constitution, the U.S. presidency is still similar in some ways as it was conceived of by the founders. And it was conceived of not as a powerful agency. It certainly was not conceived of as the most powerful office in our government. I hesitate to remind listeners that the only federal office that you directly elect is the House of Representatives. And since whenever they passed the 17th Amendment, the Senate, so you elect senators and congressmen. So you directly elect the Senate. You do not directly elect the president or the Supreme Court. Those are things done, you know, by essentially appointment of the Electoral College and the president with advice and consent for the courts. So the fact is that the presidency is in reality, a political office, and it's a difficult job because of that. A president's agenda has to be backed up with support from Congress in the form of legislation, which ultimately has to be backed up by the courts to eventually be settled by law. That's how our system works. The presidency does not rule by decree in the United States. He doesn't get a sash that makes him the ruler. This president, conversely, seems to think that signing an executive order is the same as signing a law. Executive orders, as I've said many times, can be issued on existing law, in departments the president is in charge of, on procedure or approaches, of course, regulation within those areas. But other than that, executive orders are not laws passed by Congress. They can be reversed almost as soon as a new president becomes president, as President Obama has discovered, and ultimately, as President Trump will discover. Now, President Trump has a lot of ideas, and he talks about them all the time. But the fact is that in this world, particularly in politics, talk is cheap. Talk seldom accomplishes anything unless it is accompanied with serious legislative outreach to accomplish a result, a package of laws. Think Reagan in his first term, working with Tip O'Neill and a Democrat Congress to pass tax reform and other packages. Think Roosevelt in his first 100 days, working with Congress to get things done. Now, here's the reality of what we're dealing with politically right now. And another reason why the stock market may be beginning to react to the political situation in Washington. There is no discussion anymore of tax reform. It's pretty much off the table until 2018. There's no movement in the Senate on so-called health care reform right now. There is no movement on addressing budget issues, especially when it comes to discretionary spending and non-discretionary spending, the two different types of spending. But there's no discussion about what to do about entitlements that are blowing up the budget. They passed another $1 trillion budget. They're doing things that Trump doesn't agree with because they can, because they're Congress. And of course, there is talk about these issues, but there's no real action on these issues. So there doesn't seem to be a Republican agenda that they're operating on right now. We are pretty much dead stick right now. What there is errant rhetoric about a carbon tax, or a VAT tax or value-added consumption tax to address budget deficits, which is not a Republican idea, cutting some entitlements, executive orders to study this or that thing, quote-unquote signed into law with great fanfare, and there are speeches. There are speeches blaming the media for this and that, the deep state, which, by the way, technically doesn't exist in the United States. The deep state is a term that had to do with Turkey's unique government situation and the fact that the military would step in often to remove presidents that were doing things. And so in Turkey, they refer to the military complex as the deep state. We don't have a deep state in the United States. We have a federal bureaucracy. And we can cut the federal bureaucracy anytime we decide to do so if we have a president that can work with Congress to get that done. So in the middle of all this blaming for this, that, and every other problem, sudden decisions, TV interviews, more blaming and more explanations and more rhetoric, it has brought work on an agenda to an absolute standstill in Washington, in Congress. And so that's where we are. We are already, by the way, in the early shadow period for the 2018 election cycle. And so it's not a surprise that the market, which has been in very high heights, well above the oxygen level, according to some people, is beginning to react. And again, I'm not going to predict that the market's going to go down again the next day or the day after or whatever. It'll probably react. But the market knows these things and it's reacting. And if you invested, quote, because the market was going to go up and because Trump was going to fix everything, well, then you didn't do your due diligence. Because if you did, you would know that traders are not trading because CNN put a story out about Trump, even though CNN doesn't like Trump. And we got that CNN doesn't like Trump and they want to ride that story to the top of the ratings. Traders are trading on projected earnings, research, and scuttlebutt within industries they can prove. They are trading on fundamentals. They are trading on future profits. That's how things work. And by the way, it isn't just that's human nature. It isn't just the markets. People do that too. We make decisions about houses and cars and big purchases and what jobs we're going to take based on what we think is going to happen in the economy going forward. Now, I could do a whole podcast about the United States and world economy, but there just isn't time in this podcast to do that. But I am going to say this. Medium and long term, the concerns are over supply and demand. In other words, the concerns are that there is way too much supply for all sorts of things and not enough demand. Energy prices are dropping and production is up, which is good for the consumer, but not good for the markets. There was a story last week that older Americans are hoarding their investment cash and not spending it. There are long-term threats to growth as a concern to the U.S. economy that have to do with all sorts of things, one of which is that the current expansion, if you want to call it that, since 2009 is now almost 10 years old. Bank loan issuance is down, way down. Equity-strapped people are not selling their starter homes because they don't know what's going to happen or where they're going to go. So you're seeing a short-term supply crunch in real estate in some markets. Retailers are literally going out of business because of the internet disruption of retail, which is depressing traffic at malls all over the country. If the economy was growing in leaps and bounds, I don't think you would see that. And then at the same time, you have IT and software and robotics basically ending long-term job categories. Ford announced a major reduction in its workforce. They just announced this week ticket agents and airline counters are being phased out because of the electronic systems that people can use to check in and electronic checkout at grocery stores and Home Depot and so forth. All this talk about creating jobs, same problem with Obama that Trump has, that Obama had. The unemployment numbers include, so when they talk about employment, unemployment includes part-time jobs. The employment numbers are include part-time jobs and do not include those sidelined from the workforce. In other words, those people who have given up looking for a job, which is rumored to be around something like, I was going to say 90 million, but another number comes to mind, 63 million. It's very high. And it has those people are not coming back into the workforce because where are they going to work, right? So you have some systemic issues with the economy. And in the middle of all this, we have a president who has become embroiled in a legal battle and personal fight with the media, getting absolutely nothing significant passed in Congress in his first 100 days. Now, there have been executive orders, yes, 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 but that does not mean that these are long-term issues that are going to be addressed in the form of, for example, the New Deal passed in the first 100 days of the Roosevelt administration. Didn't agree with it, but I'm just saying he got it done with Congress. So that's the problem with getting rid of New Deal programs is difficult because they were enacted by Congress. And we're seeing that in our current time frame in relation to the ACA. A lot of people voted Republican because they wanted Obamacare repealed and nothing replaced, right? They didn't want it replaced. Well, the Republican bill that's now languishing in the Senate keeps most of the provisions of ACA intact, despite all the protests and the screaming and yelling at town meetings. And let's not forget about all the economic problems that the Obama administration left behind and are still present in the United States. I just mentioned high budget deficit, heavy regulation, despite executive orders like, that supposedly fix things. Dodd-Frank is a law. There are environmental laws. There are trade regimes and foreign policy decisions and so forth. So there's a lot to do, and we're talking about Trump's latest scandal rather than solving problems. So if the market was based on liquidity by central banks and ignoring the fundamentals because this new revolutionary president has been elected and suddenly politics have been changed, which isn't true and never was true, well, you can see how that eventually would reach a point where sanity would return and more normal trading patterns might emerge. So that's a better explanation of what happened to the market than blaming it on CNN or the Washington Post. Now, as I said, the market could go up again, probably will go up again, even though now a special counsel has been appointed to investigate the Russian thing. And I certainly won't predict where that's going to go. I think Democrats in Congress talking about impeachment, and I think Democrats talking about Watergate, and I think Republicans talking about Watergate, although we have all brought it up in conversation, are hysterical. But the market isn't the media. The market is based on a lot of other things besides that. And it isn't going to be based for long on what a president says he is going to do. Investors want action and results projecting future profits, not BS. And I've noticed a trend among a lot of my Republican friends recently. You know, initially they were up on every little thing that happened and they were authorities on every little thing that happened. And suddenly, when all this controversy started, they are too busy with other work to talk about politics. They are turning away from it because they don't want to know about what's going on. They're afraid of how this might turn out. And I want to say, for the Democrats listening and for the people who think, oh, you're just bowing to Democrat pressure the way that the deputy attorney general did because Democrats wanted a special counsel, blah, 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 blah. You know, this could turn out great for Trump because if Mueller turns out to find nothing, then suddenly, he's going to look great and the Democrats are going to look stupid and all will be well. And we'll say, gee, we lost all this time and now let's get back to work and deal with the agenda. As Mitch McConnell supposedly said this week, I just want less drama from Trump so we can get some things done. But that's not going to happen now that a counsel has been appointed, special counsel has been appointed. There's not going to be less drama from Trump because he's going to fight that and he's going to find it necessary to fight it the only way he knows how, which is on Twitter and in the public and on Facebook and, you know, making speeches and everything else. I am not about to tell you that Trump did collude with the Russians or didn't collude with the Russians or any of his people did or did not or Michael Flynn did or did not or anybody's guilty or innocent because simply I don't know and neither do you. The only people that know are the people who are guilty or not guilty. And so what's going to have to happen now because this has been turned into a three-ring circus with the firing of the FBI director and the memos and dinners and, you know, the pleas and the questions about being investigated and all this stuff about obstruction of justice. Well, now we're going to have to get to the bottom of it, as I said, because it involves the national security question of a foreign nation meddling in our politics. And it involves this question of whether or not these people would do anything to win. And if you ask yourself, well, he wouldn't do that, we don't need to do that, blah, 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 blah. Remember, and I hate to bring up Watergate, but Richard Nixon did not need to break into the DNC headquarters. God knows why he did it. That wasn't the issue. The issue was the cover-up, and that may end up being the issue in this particular situation. And I'm not going to make predictions, but we're going to have a very difficult summer going ahead. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with the markets, but I can tell you, the markets are reacting to the fact that the things that need to get done are not getting done. And whose fault is that? Hint, it's not the media's fault. Trump started this last thing. If he had just continued with what he was doing and started working on legislative outreach and tightening up the White House and getting everything squared away so we could have a legislative effort to accomplish things like tax reform, you know, corporate tax reform, getting this ACA thing squared away and on and on and on, we wouldn't be talking about any of this stuff right now. And we wouldn't be talking about the market, and the market would still be improving. The market's reacting to the future possibilities if we don't have someone who's actually leading the country politically. That's the president's job. Remember, take a second look at xgovernmentcars.com, because if you thought you knew them, think again. They have a broad selection of newer, better, low-mile vehicles than ever before. They've got the line on the DHS Expeditions and Yukons, as well as the Crown Vics, Dodge Chargers, Impala V8s, Ford Police Sedans, and more. Get your butt down to xgovernmentcars.com.
xgovernmentcars.com.
Thanks for listening to Podcast 631, the Bob Davis Podcast, right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com, stitcher.com, iTunes, TuneIn, the stream at thebobdavispodcast.com, Blog Talk Radio, and thanks for liking and sharing and favoriting and following, of course, on Facebook and Twitter, and I really appreciate the donations for Mobile Podcast Command. Getting ready to sally forth. I'll tell you more about that in future podcasts. I'm going to leave you with a little montage of two presidents many, many years apart saying the same thing.
Over the course of your life, you will find that things are not always fair. You will find that things happen to you that you do not deserve and that are not always warranted. But you have to put your head down and fight, fight, fight. Never, ever, ever give up. Things will work out just fine. Look at the way I've been treated lately. Especially by the media. No politician in history, and I say this with great surety, has been treated worse or more unfairly. You can't let them get you down. You can't let the critics and the naysayers get in the way of your dreams.
I have never heard or seen such outrageous, vicious, distorted reporting in 27 years of public life. I'm not blaming anybody for that. Perhaps what happened is that what we did brought it about. And therefore, the media decided that they would have to take that particular on. But when people are pounded night after night with that kind of frantic, hysteric reporting, it naturally shakes their confidence. Don't get the impression that you arouse my anger.
You see,
one can only be angry with those he respects. Others may hate you. But those who hate you don't win unless you hate them. And then you destroy yourself.
Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast. Podcast 631.